God, please, if you don't mind, remain standing for the reading of the Word of God this morning. And we're going to be right back in Psalm 37 with our verse that we used on Wednesday night. Now, you have to forgive, Brother Hall. I had a lot of company. I stayed up late last night getting what I've got this morning. And I've got two more thoughts that I want to preach on this. I don't have them ready yet. I may not have them ready for tonight. And if I don't, I'll either dig up an archive, testify, pray, sing, shout, climb the wall, swing from the ceiling fans, jump through that window back there where Brother Robert's at and let him catch me in midair and carry me a piggyback around the building three or four times. We'll do something, I promise you. I promise you on that. All right. Chapter number 37 in the book of Psalms and verse number 4. The Bible said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Delight thyself in the Lord also, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the hymns that we've sang in the house of God this morning. Hymns that I'm confident bring glory to your precious name. I thank you this morning for the privilege of being here to be able to preach the gospel. I'd pray, Lord, for that unction, that fresh oil that comes from the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd fill me this morning and help me to preach with power, with grace and glory. May sinners be converted. May hearts of God's people be changed. May we all be revived that we might rejoice in thee. Bless us in a special way. Help the sick and the afflicted, those that we prayed for earlier in the morning hour that's lost and need to be saved, save them, I pray. Those that have sickness and diseases, those that are traveling, give mercy to them. Those that are here, those of us here today, help us in our very place of need this hour. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. David writing here, and he said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." What a wonderful, wonderful privilege that is that you and I have, that we can delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, he didn't say we ought to have the mully grubs in the Lord. He said, "Delight thyself in the Lord." And you know something? I've seen some of you fellows back in the kitchen. Amen. And I've seen you take bites out of that ice cream or that some of that fried chicken or pork chops or turkey or whatever's back there. Some of that cake and pie, some of that eclair. I like that eclair. I'm like Benny. I like the eclair, but I don't like the chocolate. He said sometime he liked something, but he didn't like something else. I forget what it was. He won't even tell me. He's not going to tell me either. But, Yeah, he said, "Daddy," said, I like that. He said, "I don't like that. He said, I like the beans, but I don't like that pork and." Amen. Pork and beans, but he didn't like the pork end. And I've seen some of you fellas eat back there, and I've watched you as you delighted yourself in what you were eating. And it is a delight thing. Boy, I'll tell you, there's some wonderful food dished up around this church. There's no question about that. And we delight and it's a privilege to be able to go back there and delight ourselves in that food. Well, it's a privilege to delight ourselves in the Lord. Taste of the Lord and see that He is good. I mean, just bask in the sunlight of the love of Almighty God. Delight yourself in Him. Rejoice in Him. I mean, have confidence in Him. Have faith in Him. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Love Him and live for Him. And delight yourself in Him. And then there comes one of the greatest promises in all the Bible. "And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." What a promise. That if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And the real question is this morning, what is the desires of our heart? Your heart and my heart. What is the greatest desire that we have? Now, I want to say this. Now, I put something to this effect in the bulletin. The reason we may not be getting what we desire is that it may not bring glory to God. And it may not be something that God wants us to have. Right. You know, the carnal man, or I'll put it this way, the flesh is very selfish in all of us. And many times we want things that we really don't need. And there's no need to have a desire for the things that we don't need because God's not going to give them to us. And that's right. That's why He said He knows what we need before we ever ask for it. That is a great promise of delighting ourselves in the Lord, and He'll give us the desires of our heart. But what are those desires? And I said on Wednesday night that one of those desires of mine, and I think it's a spiritual desire myself, because it was instituted by God, is the desire that my family would live for God. Would live for God. I don't think there's a greater blessing to mankind outside of being saved other than seeing his family walk with the Lord. I mean, you take Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when Noah and Mrs. Noah entered that ark, Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives went aboard with them. And so the family got in. I believe God wants us to delight ourselves in the family and have a desire that our family serve the Lord and walk with Him. I've seen some of my grandchildren. I make no apologies for it. I've seen them grow up, and they've somewhat turned aside from the Lord. And it breaks my heart. It really does. It grieves my soul. But I realize that some of them are beyond my control. They're outside of my rule. There's nothing I can do but pray for them and do my best to encourage them when I get an opportunity to do that. I intend to do that. And so one of my desires is to see my family live for God and serve Him. But you know, I have another desire. And I want to speak on that to you for just a little while this morning. I promise you it won't be long. My hand, between my eyesight and my handwriting, pray for me. Now, the eyesight, I think I've got room to talk about. But I said something about my writing the other day getting bad. And Miss Hall said, I don't see how it could get any worse. It's been this way all your life. And take my word for it, it is getting worse every day. But I delight myself in the Lord, and I have a desire to see my family live for God. But I also have a desire to have friends. You know, friendship is a wonderful thing. And if when we look in the Word of God this morning, I think that we're going to find that a friend is not always necessarily what we think a friend really is. And I heard a preacher say one time that by the time we die, it may have been Brother Blue. I mean, my buddy down in Alabama, Brother Brown. It may have been Brother Brown that said, when we come to die, we may be able to count all of our friends, real friends, on one hand. When you study that Bible and find out what a real friend is, ladies and gentlemen, it narrows it down a great deal from what the natural idea of friendship is in this society that we're living in today. I had one of my grandchildren ask me yesterday, said, Papa, said, can a man have a friend that is a girl and it be a girlfriend without being what people consider a girlfriend? Well, certainly you can. People today look at a girl, if a boy says, I've got a girlfriend, they say, well, that means that they like each other. They're wanting to date one another, go out with one another. That's not always the case. A person can have a man can have a girl that is his friend and be spiritually speaking so. And not always is it in the case that a lot of people take it to be in. I took time to look up the word friend in Webster's dictionary. And I want you to get this because the entire message is going to be somewhat around the definition of what Webster gave, or a partial definition of what Webster gave as a friend. Listen carefully. Webster said a friend is one who entertains for another, sentiments of esteem, of respect and affection. In other words, we have an affection and a respect for a friend. And if somebody is a friend to us, They respect us for what we are. And then we ought to esteem them very highly for what they are. Are you listening to me this morning? And I think there's some way we need to get over that. We need to get a hold of that and practice that in our life. That we ought to certainly respect and have affection and try to esteem those that we call a friend. And a friend will do that. A friend will esteem you more highly than himself. I have a problem with people that are constantly bragging and boasting about themselves. And the majority of them, they do that in order that they may basically run somebody else down. And they've gotten the idea that the way to the top is to trample somebody else under their feet and they can make their way to the top. When they don't realize that the way up is down. And the way down is up. And humility always comes before honor, ladies and gentlemen. But he goes on to make this statement. He said, not only that, but also, Webster also said, to promote his happiness and prosperity, to lead him into a desire to have company with us. In other words, if we've got a friend, we need to promote that friendship in such a way that this man or this woman wants to be in company with us. They feel comfortable being around us. Have you ever been around some people that you just don't have? You don't feel comfortable being around them. Have you ever been around some people that you don't feel comfortable saying or talking to in a somewhat of an intimate way? Have you ever been around some people that you really back off from telling them about your personal problems that you're having in your life? I have, and I've seen a lot of it. But I'm telling you, I'm seeing more and more of it. All the time. I was at the camp last week, Brother Joel and I was, on Monday night, and I saw some of my old friends of mine. I'm not telling you who they were. You wouldn't guess it in a million years, and some of them you don't even know. But I wouldn't have guessed it in a million years. But three of them came up to me, and we were all talking, and three of them mentioned the fact that sometime or another, they either were then, were in the past, or are now on some kind of medication for anxiety. Now, who would have thought that? I've heard preachers get up and preach that if you're taking medication for anxiety or for a panic attack, that you're not even saved. That you ought to be able to trust God for that. And yet I'm telling you, it is so difficult today, ladies and gentlemen, that we're seeing men of God battling the devil and battling in the house of God with such great fervency that it is actually bringing them to a place of oppression and depression in their life, that they're actually having to take medication for that. Now, here's what I'm getting ready to tell you. The reason I'm not telling you who they are, that's a private matter. They told me that in secrecy and privacy, and I wouldn't at all tell who they were for nothing in the world. But there are some men and some women I'm around that I would not dare tell them what kind of medication I'm taking. Amen. They would probably condemn me to hell right on the spot if they knew what exactly. I had one guy say, well, how much medication are you taking? I said, I can start a pharmacy, and that's all I'm going to say. Amen. That's right. That is right. But friends, we ought to try to esteem one another more highly than the other. And we ought to try to promote happiness and prosperity in that person's life. If you are my friend, I ought to be doing everything in my power to promote happiness and prosperity in your life. I didn't say in my life, buddy, we've got it backwards. We want folks to be a friend toward us, but we have a hard time being a friend toward somebody else. We want them to make us happy. We want them to make us prosper. But we find it real hard to make them happy and to make them prosper. But I'm telling you, if we're friends, we'll do that. I don't know about you, but I think one of the greatest needs in the house of God today is for people to have friends and to have to make friends and have friendship in the house of God. Are you listening to me? Now listen very carefully. The Bible said that Abraham was called the friend of God. The Bible makes that statement in the book of James and chapter number 2, verse 21. The Bible said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his own son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Why was he called a friend of God? Because he not only believed upon God, but it's in reference to the offering of Isaac upon Mount Moriah, and he was in obedience unto the Lord. That's why he was called a friend of God. If you'll turn to John 15, I'm not going there now, I may later, but in John 15, the Lord called his disciples friends. He said, if you do whatsoever I have commanded you, then you're my friend. But Abraham was called a friend of God. And I think everybody here would have to come to the conclusion that God did everything within his power to promote happiness and prosperity in the life of Abraham. He was called the father of our faith. It was through Abraham that the promised seed came through Isaac. I'm telling you, hey, it was through him that the covenant was made with the nation of Israel. Are you listening to me? And God did everything that he could in the life of Abraham to promote happiness and prosperity in his life. And hey, he went out looking for a city, the Bible said, that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And ladies and gentlemen, he found that city. I'm telling you on authority of the Word of God, he's living in that city today. And God has certainly, hey, when God said, you're my friend, and I will promote prosperity and happiness in your life, God did that. Now I'm telling you, if you're saved today, hey, if I'm saved today, you're saved today, we're a friend of God, and God will do everything he possibly can to promote happiness and prosperity in each of our lives. That makes me wonder, what on heaven's name is wrong with Independent Baptists today when we sit around like grandma moved in or like God died or something? Hey, when God is doing everything he can to promote happiness and prosperity in our life, where is that happiness? And where is that prosperity if we're friends with God? May I say secondly, that Lazarus was called a friend of Jesus. In John 11:11, he called him a friend of Jesus. Do you think that Jesus done everything he could to prosper and make happy Lazarus? Well, the Bible said he was sick, and Jesus didn't go to him. The Bible said that Lazarus died before Jesus ever got there. But I wonder how happy the old boy was when he heard the voice, Lazarus, come forth. I'm going to say there were some joy bells ringing in his heart that had never rang before. Amen. But he come out of that grave. But I'm going to tell you what made him happier than that is when he heard those words when they said, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He came out bound, hand and foot in grave clothes, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God not only calls us out of death, but thank God he grants us liberty in the Lord because we've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God did everything he could to prosper and to make happy Lazarus. Jesus did, rather, which Jesus is God. Now I'll say thirdly, now listen carefully to this. Jonadab, in the book of 2 Samuel, was called a friend of Amnon. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Was he really a friend? I'll tell you what he did. He went to Amnon and asked him, said, why are you so lean? Right. Amnon said, because I'm sick, because I want my sister. Amnon, the Bible said, was his friend. And he told him, said, well, You're the king's son. He'll not withhold her from you. He said, just act like you're sick and have her to come over here and feed, let her eat out of your hand. And while she's here, you do whatever you want to do to that young girl. And that's exactly what Amnon did. Now I want to ask you something. Was he a real friend? The Bible said that Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't really a friend. He might have been some kind of a companion, but he was not a friend. A friend loveth at all times. And a friend would never tell somebody else to go out and commit sin. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying friendship, and I'll get to this in a little while. Friendship is something that can be very deceiving in the lives of people if you're not careful. It will deceive you, and that friendship did deceive Amnon and caused him to sin against God and cost him his life. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, it cost David a great deal more than that. You better be careful about those friends. Some people, just because a man says, I'm your friend, that don't mean diddly squat. And I'm gonna give y'all something in a minute, and you can like me for it or like it, don't matter. So I'm gonna give it to you anyway. Jesus called, I'm giving it to you right now. Jesus called Judas friend. Friend? Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Now don't hold this against me. But I'm telling you, when the Bible was written in Greek, the Greek language far exceeds anything in English. And some words, the way they're placed in a sentence and the way what it's referring to, sometimes means just a little bit different thing. Now, in this case, it meant just an associate. In other words, he was just a companion. Jesus, in other words, said, hey, companion, hey, associate, deceivest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hey, Judas wasn't his friend. Hey, no, I mean, Jesus wasn't Judas' friend. I'll guarantee you, Judas may have been a friend of Jesus, but it was one-sided. Now, I'm telling you, there are some one-sided affairs when it comes to this thing about friendship with people, with God's people. You better mark that down. Say amen right there.
Amen.
I want to say also that in chapter number 19 of the book of Proverbs, I'm just reading some scriptures right now. I'll get the message in a minute. Then chapter number 19 in the book of Proverbs, the Bible said in verse 6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. What about that? I'm going to tell you, it's not hard for a person to say, that's my friend, if that fellow he's talking about is always on the giving end and he's on the receiving end. We got that thing backwards. I tell you, hey, we love to receive, but bless your heart, the Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen. And a man that receives gifts will say, that's my friend. Oh, but I'm telling you, he's got it all. He's got a lopsided friendship. Amen. And if you know somebody like that, you've got a lopsided friendship. If you claim to be a friend to somebody just because of the good that they can do for you in your life, you're not a friend to them at all. You're not a friend to them at all. Now I'm trying. I knew in Sunday school it was going to be tight again. We'll just keep on plowing. And he goes on to say there in verse 7, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? Now, wait a minute. His friends go far from him? The Bible said there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, how can you stick close to somebody and go far from them? I'm going to tell you how. You let yourself get in trouble, have a little problem in your life, and you'll find out who your real friends are. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of time, them people that call themselves friends, they'll go far from you. They'll just back away from you as far as they can possibly get. And I'm going to tell you, that's where the rubber meets the road, is when it comes down to us trying to promote the happiness and the prosperity of somebody else rather than always wanting to be on the receiving end of it. Come on in the house now. We are a friend to somebody when we try our best to esteem them highly, promote their happiness, promote their prosperity, rather than looking to them to do everything for you and I. That's right. Is anybody listening? I hope so. I hope so. Now, a friend. The Bible said a friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. Not just when things are going good between each other. When there's a rift between you. If you're a friend, you're still a friend. Come on now. If there's a little problem crops up between you and your friends, you're still a friend. I'm just telling you, little things like that ought not to separate our friendship. But oftentimes it does do exactly that. Amen. That's right. That's right. A friend loveth at all times. The Bible said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, we've never fathomed the depths of that verse. You know how close the brothers are? Not necessarily actually close in life, but they're close because of their blood relationship. Their blood kin, and you can't get away from that. My brothers are my brothers, and I can't get away from that. But I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But by the way, there is still a blood relationship between him and I. His blood saved my soul. Amen. And I am his brother. He is my elder brother. And he sticketh closer than a brother to me. That's right. I get troubled at people when they claim to get saved by the grace of God. Now, I meant to mention this tonight, but I'll mention it now. And their friends have to do with somebody out there rather than somebody in here. Right. Truly, our fellowship is with one another and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So our fellowship and our friendship is with one another, amen, not with somebody out there. Amen. You can't be a friend to a Christian and a friend to a cusser and a whoremonger and a drunkard all at the same time. It don't work that way. Oh, we gotta be friends to them. Well, I don't know about that. Come on in the house now. Now listen carefully. Jesus gave us a great illustration about a friend in John 15:13 and John 15:15-16. And I will turn back there and read those. He gave us a great illustration there. He said in verse 12 of that chapter, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Right. Folks, there's where the rubber meets the road. Are we, those people that we count our friends, are we really willing to lay down our life for them? I'm not necessarily talking about dying for them. And I'm talking about laying out our life, giving ourselves to them, doing things to prosper them, doing things to make them happy. Do we do things to make them happy, or do we want everything done to make us happy and prosper us rather than seeing somebody else prosper? Come on in the house now and help Brother Hall out a little bit. And then he goes on to say, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Now here, get this. "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." In other words, Jesus said, because you're my friend, everything that I have from him, I'm going to give to you. You know something? I couldn't possibly be your friend today if I didn't give you everything that God gave me. Can somebody help me? Amen. Somebody said, well, sometimes you give us some things that's smart. I'm going to get to that after a while. There are times when a friend will give you
say some things to you that does smart, and he can still be your friend.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's right. We'll get to that in just a moment. Now I'm going to tell you, Jesus put the rubber on the road right there. Are we willing to give ourselves up to somebody else? Come on now. We can't be a friend of Jesus if we're not willing to give ourselves wholly unto the Lord. And we cannot be friends with somebody else unless we're willing to give ourselves wholly unto them. I'm telling you, we let so many little petty anythings stand between us, stand between each other this morning, that it's absolutely pathetic. And hey, I wasn't born yesterday, and I didn't start pastoring. I spoke to a man across the field from me yesterday, and he said, I listen to you every Sunday. He said, how long you been over there? I said, almost 24 years. Now I'm telling you, I've been here long enough that I'm beginning to learn the hearts of the people. Now I'm telling you right now, come on. Some of you's going to get mad in the wet hornet. But if I ruffle the feathers this way, I promise you I'll rub them back the other way and smooth them back out. But I'm telling you right now on the authority of what I know in my heart, that there are so many divisions in this church that we'll never have God until some people in this church get right with one another. Then we have the audacity to look each other in the face and say, hey, you're my friend, or you're my buddy, or you're my girl, lady friend. I'm talking about ladies now. Hey, when really there's so many stinking divisions in here, come on in the house. And I tell you that it is grieving God, it's hindering God, and the work of God cannot be done because of it. And I could lay my right hand on the divisions without a problem. Somebody said, you're not that spiritual. I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on it. I'm just simply saying people need to get right. Y'all hear, I don't know if y'all heard Brother Allen Monday night, but I never thought about it this way. That psalmist said in Psalm chapter number, is it 80, 86, 85, verse number 10. Wilt thou revive us again, that we might rejoice in thee. But in Psalm 138, I believe it is, he said, though we walk in the midst of troubles, thou wilt revive me. He's not asking for us, but he said, hey, you will revive me. Back here he is. Up here he's sure of it. He's positive about it, that God will revive him. Even though he's walking in the midst of trouble, God still has the power to revive him. Now I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? If God gets ready to move in this church, you better hang on to your hat, honey, because there's going to be some puking up taking place. Amen. Like Brother C said in Sunday school, there's going to be some hearts opened up, and what comes out of those hearts ain't going to smell very well. That's right. Amen. I wouldn't be at all surprised if any relatives in here need to get right with one another. Women need to get right with one another. Men need to get right with one another. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you're ripping us apart. No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm your friend. I wouldn't be your friend if I didn't tell you. Do you think a friend would lie to you? Now you listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say, okay? About four or five little things, and it won't take me long, and I'll be done. I'll be out of here, running too, probably. I won't say that a real friendship has got to be developed. The first time you meet somebody, you may be acquainted with them, don't necessarily mean they're a biblical friend. But that friendship has got to be developed. And it's got to start with trust. I'm here to tell you, hey, if you can't trust somebody, they're not your friend. Are you listening to me? Hey, a friend is somebody that will give you a listening ear and listen to all your complaints, all your problems, all your troubles, listen to them, and keep their mouth shut about it. Amen. A friend is somebody you can trust to tell everything about you that is wrong, and that person will still love you. I'm glad that Jesus is my friend. And I'm telling you, I can get on my knees and tell Him everything about me that is wrong. He already knows it. Now I'm going to tell you what, He'll not tell a soul about it. He will not hang your dirty underwear out in front of anybody.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right. It's got to be developed. It's got to be developed. It's got to be worked at. It's something that don't just happen. And it's got to start with trust. Trusting one another. And I want to say second, if it's going to be developed, it's got to be developed. It's got to be developed by truth. By truth. In Proverbs 27 verse 6, I won't take time to turn back there. Proverbs 27 verse number 6, I believe it is. Proverbs 27 and verse number 6, if I can find it. I do believe it's in the Bible. I'll find it here in just a minute. Proverbs 27 and verse number 6. It's between these stuck pages. Proverbs 27 verse 6 said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Boy, that sounds hard. I've heard a lot of people leave the house of God. Some will tell you why I left there. Somebody in there wounded me. I was wounded. Well, if it was a friend that wounded them, then amen. Amen. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. What you saying, Brother Hall? I'm standing up here this morning telling us what our problem is. It might wound some of us, but I'm telling you, it's coming from your friend. I love you in the Lord. Hey, and the wounds come from a faithful friend, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
That's right. But a lot of times you tell somebody the truth, and I'm going to tell you what they'll do. They'll bow up their neck. They'll stiffen their neck and their heart. And they're not going to listen to it. I wouldn't care what you said. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to tell you, I've told people in this church when they started working out on Sunday, started missing church on Wednesday night. I said, you start missing church on Wednesday night because of a job, it won't be long till you'll start missing church on Sunday night because of a job. Oh, no, it won't happen. It's happened. I've told them, you start missing church on Sunday night, you'll miss on Sunday morning. Oh, no, it's happened. Now, I'm telling somebody, I said, well, you're mean to them. No, I'm not mean to them. I'm a faithful friend. Now, I'm telling you, the wounds of a faithful friend, ladies and gentlemen, is a blessing if you lay them to heart and listen to what they got to say. Because a friend is somebody that knows everything about you anyway.
Right.
You've already told them everything about you. Now, by the way, if some of y'all just keep your ears open, little buddy,
that's right,
and listen to what people's got to say, you'd know where they are in the Lord.
Amen.
And you'd know whether they're your friend or not. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, what about Jacob? When he came back from getting his little bride, and he went back across the brook and wrestled with the Lord all night long. And when the daybreak come, the Lord said, turn me loose. And he said, not till you bless me, I won't turn you loose. And the Lord put his hand on the sinew of his right leg and it shrank. And when he left that place, he went away limping on that right leg. Are you listening to me? Wounded. You're going to tell me the Lord wasn't his friend? God gave him that wound for his good, folks. It was because of the wrestling all night and because of that wound that he was able to cross that brook and face Esau face to face and trust God to deliver him. And God did deliver him because of it. God proved to be a friend, a faithful friend that wounded him. And I'm going to tell you, there's some people like that. And I'm going to tell you, we don't like it. We don't like to hear it. In other words, we don't like to be told where we're wrong. Somebody said, how do you know? Because I've been told. And I didn't like it. But sometime down the road, I learned. I said, hey, they were right. Can I tell you this? I went to a preacher at Faith Camp on Monday night and said, I have said some things about you in my life, and I apologize for what I said, and I want you to forgive me.
They said, "You are forgiven."
You know why?
They had said some things about me that was right. And it wounded me. But I found out a long time down the road that the wounds, faithful are the wounds of a friend. They proved to be my friend by telling me where I was wrong. God help us. If I saw one of my kids about to trample on a rattlesnake, I'd certainly want to tell them that it was there. I wouldn't want to just go ahead and step on it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that's got to be developed by trust, and it's got to be developed not only by trust, but it's got to be developed by truth, as I just said. It's got to be truth. And it's got to be developed by tears. What about Jonathan? And what about David and Jonathan? The Bible said that when Saul ran David off, that him, that Jonathan and Saul, Jonathan and David met. And the Bible said, and they wept. They wept. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. A friend is somebody that don't mind weeping with you. Amen. When there's problems in your life, they don't mind weeping with you over those problems, and they will if they're right with God.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you, the time we got back to an old-fashioned altar and got a hold of God for one another and let the tears flow down our cheeks, are you listening to me, for our friends, and wept because our friends were being mistreated by somebody in a wrongful way. Saul wasn't right with God. He was doing David wrong, and Jonathan knew he was doing David wrong. And when Jonathan went out and wept with David, and David wept with Jonathan, and they were friends, and I'm going to tell you, those tears brought them closer. David said, "Now I'm going to tell you something." He said, "I know that your God's going to make you king, and when God makes you king, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to keep a covenant with my family. I don't want you to destroy all my family. You keep it coming." And there was a little old crippled boy down in the land of Lodibar named Mephibosheth, who was a grandson of Saul. And David said, "You go down there and get him for Jonathan's sake."
Amen. Amen.
Bring up that cripple for Jonathan's sake. Folks, we got a friend in God. I'm going to tell you what he's done. He's told the Holy Ghost, "You go down there and get old so-and-so. For Jesus' sake, you go down there and get him. He suffered for him. He's a friend to him. Go down there and get him." Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad. Thank God I've about run my head through a wall right now for that wonderful day when God told the Holy Ghost, "Go down and get Jerry Hall. For Jesus' sake, he's a friend to him. Go get him." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody said, "What did he do?" Well, first thing he done was wounded me. He said, "You're a sinner and you're full of hell and you ought to go to hell." And I said, "Lord, you know, I've got to say you're right. I'm up to my eyeballs in sin. There's no question about it." And he told me the truth. But when I said, "Lord, you're right," he said, "You know what? Because I died for you and you're my friend, I'm going to forgive you of all of them."
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All our griefs and sorrows, He'll bear.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to take friends with one another, ladies and gentlemen. We're to bear one another's griefs and sorrows.
Man.
And I'm going to tell you, it ought to be enough to mount up on our heart to cause us to weep, as Jonathan and David did. I'm telling you, Jonathan was bearing the sorrows and the grief and the hurt, the heartache of David. He wasn't ashamed to weep over it either.
Right, amen.
And he did. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we ain't getting too many amens this morning. I didn't expect to get too many. Now, listen carefully. A real friend, not only, a real friendship not only developed, but real friendship is defended. I made that statement just then about Jonathan and David. Jonathan defended David in that friendship. I want to say thirdly, real friendship can be disguised. You better be careful, everybody calls you a friend. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Ahithophel.
Right.
He was David's counselor. You would think, and the Bible called him, I know I'm not going to turn there because we're too dead to even bother about turning there. But the Bible said about Ahithophel, David said, "Mine own familiar friend."
Right.
said me and him went to the house of God in company. And we worshiped God together. And it was my old friend, the familiar friend, that he granted my table, that stuck his dagger in my back. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Friendship can be disguised. You better watch it. It's like a sheep in wolf's clothing. Just because somebody tells you they're your friend don't mean they are your friend. David found that out the hard way. I'm telling you, David, because when Absalom tried to overthrow the kingdom, guess where Ahithophel went? He went with Absalom. And when his counsel was overruled by Hushai, the Bible said that Ahithophel went home and set his house in order and hanged himself. There's another fellow that Jesus called a friend. Had done the same thing. His name was Judas Iscariot. You think Judas was Jesus' friend? He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, folks.
That's right.
And the Bible said that he, like Ahithophel, the only two men I know in the Bible that says that he went home and put his house in order and hanged himself. Oh, my. I'm telling you, people can just put a face on, and that friendship can be a disguise. They can disguise themselves and call themselves a friend when underneath all the time they're just waiting for an opportunity. Hey, they're a friend that's waiting for an opportunity to put a knife in your fifth rib. That's exactly what they're doing.
Right.
And they'll do it.
Yes, sir.
You give them a chance, it'll be done. They get the opportunity, buddy, it'll be done. I'm just telling you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I said, preacher, I don't believe that. I wouldn't be so foolish. I wouldn't be so foolish. It can be disguised. It can be disguised. I want to say also that friendship can be deceitful. I already mentioned that about Judas, how deceitful Judas was. Carried the bag. Had the money. You'd think that he was the right man. But he wasn't. He was a great deceiver. Amen. He had them all deceived but Jesus. Well, Jesus made the statement earlier in the Word of God. Said he was a devil from the beginning. He knew his heart from the very beginning. He said he's a devil from the beginning. Well, I had one of my Armenian friends down here one day. And we was talking about whether you could lose your salvation or not. He said, what are you going to do about Judas? Said, Judas fell from grace. I said, sir, Judas never was in grace.
Right.
He said, how do you know he wasn't in grace? I said, because Jesus said that he was a devil from the beginning. Ain't no devil ever been in grace.
That's right.
Amen. Now you can say amen to that. Come on in the house. Anybody never had been in grace?
Amen.
He didn't fall from it. He never did have it. But I'm going to tell you what he did have. Had a mask on.
Yes, sir.
He said, I'm your friend. But when he got the opportunity, the Bible said that he sought opportunity. And when he got that opportunity, he went to the high priest and said, I'll deliver him to you. He said, the one that I kiss, said, you hold him fast. When he went and kissed Jesus on the cheek, Jesus said, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? That's pretty close when a man will walk up and kiss you and claim to be your friend. And all
right.
The time, he's got a crowd behind him just waiting to nail you. Oh, I've been through more church fights and Carter's got little liver pills. And I've had, amen, and I've had men to walk up and kiss me and say, I'm your friend.
Right.
And all the time they had a crowd behind them.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
with staves, by the way.
Yes. Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
Just waiting to get a hold of you. Wanting to tear your head off. And all the time they claim to be your friend. It ain't always that way. I can name some, but I'm on the air and I wouldn't dare do it. It's done me that very way.
Right.
Within days of calling me a friend and dining with them, within 7 days, and they turned on me like a biting sow. And said it was my friend. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Hey. Delight thyself in the Lord. He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm going to tell you one of the desires that we have ought to be to cultivate friendship and have friends and cultivate that friendship and stay friends.
Amen.
Not turn on one another. If we're brothers and sisters in Christ, hey, we need one another. I'm telling you, there's more fighting going on in the churches than they are against the devil. Of course, if we'd turn our energy against the devil that we're turning on the saints of God, we could whoop that dude in a minute.
Amen.
But we're not doing that.
We're fighting one another and fighting little tidbit things rather than fighting against sin that's destroying not only the church, but it's destroying America. It's eating America alive. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I've never in my lifetime heard of so much sin as there are in America today.
Right.
Bunch of pedophiles. You hear people like up there, and it's all over the news, so I'm not spreading y'all. Penn State. The very coach is a pedophile. Now he's been accused of molesting his own grandson. God help us. And friend, it's everywhere. Now they say there's another coach that's done the same thing in another ball team. Brother, I'm telling you, you know what that tells me? You better be careful letting your kids go to school, get involved in these sports events where they've got to go into a place with other boys and girls and strip off their clothes naked and show their flesh to one another. They're asking for trouble. I wouldn't let one of mine go for a minute. Amen. Now, friendship can be divided. Now you listen to this. Proverbs 16:28. Oh, if this ain't a Wallapalooza, I've never seen one. Proverbs 16:28, I believe it is. I'll find it here in a minute. Yeah. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. Tattlers, long tongued, backbiters, whisperers separateth chief friends. I'm telling you, when we go behind somebody's back and talk about them to somebody else, we're not right with God. And we've all been guilty of it. You might as well raise my hand. You can raise yours in your heart and say amen. And I'm telling you what we've done sometimes in it, we have separated chief friends. I'm telling you, they've been people that have been friends and been tight friends. And because of some gossiping tongue, some long tongue, they have separated chief friends. They've divided them. It happens all the time. Let me tell you, it happens all the time. Whispers. We ought never be guilty of that. Whispers, backbiters. God help us. We never know what we're doing when we commit such sin as that against those that we claim to love. Those that we claim to be our friends. And then go and talk behind their back about them. How sorry they are, and this, and on, so on, and so forth. I will admit all surprised there's going to be some people in here this morning that went behind somebody else's back and talked about them, and they need to get right over it. Leroy said it's right. I ain't getting many rights, but Leroy said it's right. If he does, I believe it. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. There's some men in here, if they say amen to something I'm right. I'm on target. But you know I'm telling you right. There's probably women in here that need to go to somebody and get right. There's probably relatives in here that need to go to somebody and get right. And I'm telling you right now, we're not going to have God until we do. God done showed me that, and we're not going to have God until we do. I look at so many places with friends in the Bible, and a lot of times it's lopsided. It's just one-sided. Friends, not always what we think it is. No siree. Well, I've got a girlfriend. Well, do you really? A friend stick is closer than a brother. You going to stay with that girl and wind up marrying her? Or are you going to dump her down the road for somebody else? Or vice versa? I've got a boyfriend. Do you really now? Going in the house, children. I'm going to say in closing, I probably should have closed a long time ago. Probably saved me a whole lot of headache and down the road. Man. Afraid I might get shot leaving here this morning. But I want to say that friendships can be a delight. You listen to what John said in 3 John. What a blessing it is. In 3 John, little epistle of 3 John. Not very much said in it. But there's one thing said, and I think, in the last verse. If I can find it in this new Bible, Brother Gray, give me. He said in verse 13, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet friends by name. You know why he said that? Now you can read that for yourself. I'm going to tell you why he said that. Because just a few verses above that, there was a man there that the Bible said in verse 9, John said, I wrote unto the church. It said there was a man there by the name of Diotrephes who loveth to have the preeminence among them. He receiveth not. Receiveth us not. He said, neither will he receive the brethren. Then John said, you better call your friends by name. Now, folks, that's over our head if you'll stop and think about it. He's not all-inclusive of everybody there. He's saying there's some folks around you that's not your friend. But call them by name. In other words, know who they are and call them by name. And apparently Gaius was a man in that church that was a friend, because that is who the church letter is written to. He had written to the church, and Diotrephes wouldn't even read the letter. But he wrote to Gaius and told Gaius, read this letter to the brethren. Because Gaius must have been a friend. And he said, you call him by name. Said, Gaius is my friend. And I know he'll do exactly what I tell him to do. And he did. Friendship. It's not always what we think it is. It's not always what we think it is. We better make sure that a friend is a friend. And we better do all we can do to cultivate. If you have a friend, let me tell you something. If you have a friend, I'm talking about a real friend that's taken closer than a brother, you better cultivate that friendship, because one of these days you'll need one of them. And one of these days when it comes, hey, when the rubber meets the road, or one of these days, if my body lies right here, and even whether I'm pastoring here or not, I plan on, Lord willing, having my funeral preached here. I wonder how many people will march in front of this casket that can go to my wife and say he was my friend. I wonder how many people will. I wonder how many people will go to my wife and say, Mrs. Hall, you're still my friend. I wonder how many will. I wonder how many will walk by and say, I know everything about that sorry devil, but I ain't going to tell it. I'm not perfect. Don't claim to be. Far from it. Far, far from it. And neither are you. But I'm going to tell you the best thing we have. A friend concealeth the matter. A fool opens his mouth and tells it all, but a friend concealeth the matter. And love will cover all sin. What the Bible says. Now, how about us this morning? How many friends we got in here? How many friends do you think you got? Is somebody your friend because they bring you a pie every now and then, or cake, or let you borrow their vehicle, loan you money? Are they really your friend? Somebody said, well, sure, if somebody loans me money, they're my friend. Well, you go up there and tell that to the banker. You may find out different.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what a lot of people are that give you money. Not everybody, but a lot of people give you money to control you. You'd be surprised at people that want to be your friends, that they can control you. Well, I've probably said enough to get run off. I better be quiet. Let's stand together.